Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas. And listeners, this week I am joined by not only one man, one myth, one legend. I am joined by two. Not only do we have thunder, we have lightning. That means, listeners, that's right. That means Colton Millward, the co-founder of the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast and co-host, is joining us on the show. How's it going, Colton?
Feels good.
Well,
I'm ready. I'm pumped.
Well, we've missed you. Listeners have missed you. But we have to get a couple things straight here. It's been a while. We haven't had your take on how the Vikings have played this season, 2020. Well, first of all, let's do this. First question is, what is your overall take with the COVID season? And then how do you feel about your Vikings?
I thought the season was interesting. There really wasn't, besides no fans or anything, I feel like they handled it pretty well. Home field advantage definitely took a dip. Every single team felt like the Chargers, meaning that they didn't have any fans at their game. But I thought it went through pretty smoothly, just like any other season. And the Vikings, Davey may tell you differently, but it's because Davey's a liar. We all know that.
This is a complete fact. I've never once in my entire life lied or made a single mistake. That's what people say about me. And so I don't know what you're talking about, but we already know it's about to be a lie.
Early on in the season, I knew that the Vikings would be.
Oh my goodness! Don't you dare! You are the most bold-faced liar I've heard in my entire life. No way!
I knew that they would
let you get away with that
until the end, and would get kind of knocked out at the end. I knew it was going to be a regression. But
no, listeners, what really happened is there was a conversation. I'm not going to use any names, but there was a certain Vikings fan that I talked to that may or may not be on this podcast right now. That early in the season was talking about getting Penei Sewell as like the third overall pick or second overall pick situation. I do believe in that same exact conversation, there was a certain Packer fan that may or may not be on this podcast that also said, I think they're going to actually turn it around. Now, I did not expect them to turn around like they did. But I do believe that there was a certain Packers fan shedding a little bit of light in that situation.
Well, I would like to meet this Packer fan because it sure as heck wasn't you. But no, in all honesty, I knew it would be a tough go after 1-5. We had some bright spots, definitely. Obviously, Justin Jefferson played really well. DJ Wanham, if all you guys out there that don't have a DJ Wanham jersey, or you're like, who the heck is DJ Wanham? You're going to know next year. He's practically an all-star already. Guy made play after play after play. And he's going to be Danielle Hunter 2.0, or let's say 2.5, because he's going to get 2.5 times more sacks than he did last year. We still have some offensive line deficiencies, and we practically didn't field the defense all year. But, you can only go up from there. So that's how the Vikings
are. That's a pause. Colton, I commend you. That's a great outlook. That's the outlook you have to have in any situation like that, So
you don't have to. You could be the Jets right now.
Yeah, that's
you could be the Jets. I don't know what your positive outlook is.
Or the Texans. I think I'd rather be the Jets than the Texans.
Yeah, those teams are literally at rock bottom right now. But Colton, what are your thoughts about Mike Zimmer? Didn't he sign an extension this
Yeah, him and Spielman, Rick, they both got a multi-year extension.
Okay, what's your takeaway from that? Do you like that? Is it good? Is it bad?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that are anti. I get a lot of different Vikings fans and a lot of different people that I talk to. There's a lot of people that are anti Zimmer. They just want him to go. And my question is, if we went away from him, like, where would we go?
Right.
What would we do? I think
don't fall in that trap, dude. That's what Bagger fans told me for years when we stuck around with Mike McCarthy. Like, oh, there's not anyone better. And guess what? There was.
Zim, I think he's a calming. Well, it's kind of weird to say Zim and calming in the same sentence, but he's kind of, you know, a calming, steady presence. He knows what he's doing. A lot of people give him crap and say, you know, his defense is stuck in the Stone Age. But Vikings were top 10 defense, I believe a top five. Sorry, top five. I said defense. I meant offense. Mm. Top five offense in the league this last year. So I don't know what exactly they're complaining about. We had a down year, had a lot of injuries, had a lot of departures, and we're going to roll it back this next year, and we're going to be just fine. I'm a fan of Zimmer. I think he's without question, he's my favorite head coach that has ever been had in the Vikings during my lifetime.
Colton, what's
Colton? Do you know who Leslie Frazier is? And are you sure that you want to put Zimmer over Leslie Frazier?
Yes, I know who Leslie Frazier is.
I just want to make sure. I want to give you one more chance to put Leslie Frazier on that pedestal of great Vikings coaches.
No, during my lifetime is what I'm saying. And yes, I was there doing Leslie Frazier in the Christian Ponder. Yeah.
Okay, you did slightly scare me for a second because, like, Viking. Obviously, listeners, I knew that Colton knew who he was. But when you did start to say during my life, I'm like, wait a second, does he not know who he is?
No, I know who he is.
Yeah. Not quite. Probably my favorite Vikings head coach of all time.
Not mine. Was not a fan. Yeah. Or Brad Childress. Didn't like him either. Never liked him.
I remember that guy.
But that Brad Childress look is so iconic.
Most people say they're like, "Oh yeah, Brad Childress."
All right, boys. Well, was one more question with Colton, then we'll move on to our playoff recaps, which we have a lot to talk about. But Colton, this may be a little bit of foreshadowing to when draft season comes up. But what's the number one need that Vikings need?
Rashawn Slater.
Just that guy?
Yep, just him.
and then we're going to the Super Bowl. You're there.
What if he gets taken before?
No chance.
Yep. No chance. Not a single possibility.
Don't even play out next season.
He could play tackle or guard. He's kind of like Ezra Cleveland, but he's a lot higher. I don't know. I like Ezra Cleveland, but I feel like Rashawn Slater has a lot higher upside.
Would you say,
you know, Colton? I won't use that other keyword. I'm not gonna say that he's a lot higher upside, you know, than
potential.
And he can definitely either play tackle or guard wherever they want to use him. We're gonna have an interesting offensive line adjustment. So Rashawn Slater, there we go, number one need.
All right. Well, there you have it, listeners. So much for foreshadowing the draft podcast. But we'll move on, boys. We had a busy NFL divisional playoff. Round. Where should we start? Why don't we just start right now with the Packers and the Rams?
David, okay, that's where I wanted to start.
What are your takeaways? What are your takeaways from the Packers? First of all, before I get your guys' takes, I will just say that I did not curse the Packers last week, David.
So congratulations, Thomas. That's true.
You both had the floor.
I'm glad you brought that out.
You both had the floor.
All right. So number one is I just want to remind everyone that all I heard last week was about Jalen Ramsey and about that Rams defense and about Aaron Donald. And I don't want to hear no excuses now that, oh, Aaron Donald was hurt because he was hurt last week. Everyone knew he was hurt last week, but I still heard all week about there's no way you stopped them. This was a joke should have been a joke of a game, and it ended up being that way. There was a few moments of tension for sure. They did stop us on two drives the entire game. Like, for those of you saying that it was a closer game, they stopped us two drives all game. They did cap in consecutively, which gave them a chance for a comeback, but they stopped us two drives all game. That's what that defense did. With Aaron Donald healthy, with Jared Goff healthy, this might have been a better game for sure. They have a lot of talent, but there was no way that the Packers should have had a close game against them with all the injuries. And people last week pretended like the Rams had a chance. And yeah, that's all I have to say about it. Is go Pack, go!
All right, Cole. What were your takes away from that game?
So, I'm in this one fantasy football league this year, and during the middle of the year, I made this trade, which I thought was a good trade at the time. I traded Baker Mayfield for Jared Goff, thinking that, you know, Baker was just kind of going downhill, and Goff was taking off. And Goff was going somewhere, but I did not know he was going to be benched for some guy who I can't even remember his name in the moment. Jared Goff was healthy for that game and still, well, you know, wasn't 100% healthy, definitely. But he was available for that game and got benched. And the whole Rams offense should have been benched because they just did not play very good at all. There wasn't ever... Like David said, there really wasn't ever a time where it was close. The Packers are a great team. Pains me to say it, but they're not going anywhere for a while. They're going to be a great team for a while, and just makes you wonder how they made it past the Seahawks, but they did. And
as we called them, a joke of a team and a team that had no chance. Yeah, the team that beat the Seahawks last week, of course.
No, I think they're fine. You know, they just I don't know what their direction is in the future. I don't know where they're at right now. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Brent. Packers are definitely one. I would say one of the. Well, obviously they're one of the four best teams at this point. But I'm just gonna go ahead and let you know. My pick now, they're definitely advancing this week to go to the Super Bowl. And so they're one of the two best teams in the league already.
Yeah. I would say my takeaway from that game is pretty much the same as you guys. LA Rams, I know they beat Seattle, and so they have that over us, but I just hate those guys. And nothing gives me more pleasure than seeing Jalen Ramsey go down. So... Do not like that guy. But, you know, LA Rams, one of the most inconsistent teams in the NFL, going against one of the most consistent teams this season. You know, like I said last week, listeners, I was very, very more confident in Packers beating the Rams because I just knew how inconsistent they were and how good the Packers were. They met my expectations, beat the Rams, and yeah. And so we have another game in the AFC, the Ravens and the Bills, boys. Josh Allen advances to the AFC Championship game.
You mean the? Oh, never mind.
What?
Keep going. I see what you're saying. Ravens played the
Ravens
Bills.
Played the Bills. Yep, Bills got a. It was a defensive battle, but the Bills pulled it off. The Bills pulled it off. There we go. What were your guys' takeaways from that game?
I'm a big fan of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. He was my favorite receiver when he was in Minnesota. They're doing great things. They're, you know, not necessarily a high power octane offense, but they're high enough, and their defense is good enough, and they bend but don't break. And that game, they were all over the Ravens, all over Lamar Jackson. And they're gonna have a great game this next week. Josh Allen is gonna play his butt off, and he's gonna be the new face of the league. So that's that. Davey, you don't even have to say anything.
I will say something. 5.6 yards attempt is not my new face in my league just yet. I am sold on Josh Allen, though. He played good enough to get the job done. The big takeaway for me also was just the defense. The Bills' defense kind of showing how they are capable of playing. We know what the offense can do. They had a little bit of a quiet day against the good Ravens defense. But yeah, I mean, it definitely sucked to see Lamar go down too. But the Bills are legit. Josh Allen's legit. And I can't wait to see him this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, were you guys a little bit, I don't want to say disappointed. Were you guys surprised that the Ravens didn't put more points on the board or more, I guess, offensive yards out there? Or is it just something that the Bills defense is this legit and kind of swarmed?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. Obviously, after you see Lamar go down, I don't think from then on with Tyler Huntley you expected much. But Huntley didn't play actually the worst, I guess. Like, he wasn't great by any means. But yeah, I for sure – I thought both ways this was going to be an offensive showdown. But we know that the Ravens defense has players. We know that the Bills defense has players and are capable. And so I think they put together a good week. I know that a lot of people are, like, kind of hating on Lamar Jackson. I'm not there yet. Since he lost his playoff game against a legit Bills team, in my opinion, that he's a terrible quarterback and will never be good, like some are saying. But yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a letdown.
The Ravens kind of remind me of the Houston Rockets in basketball.
Why is that? We need an explanation.
For the past few years, you know, they had James Harden, don't anymore, you know, and
had to bring that up.
They were always had like the number one, the number two record in the West. They would annihilate the regular season. They had one of the greatest players in the game in James Harden. But when it comes to playoff times, you know, they could never make it to the finals. Their team wasn't necessarily built for the postseason the same way it was built to just dominate the regular season, you know, the matchups and different things like that. And I think that's kind of the same situation you've got with the Ravens. You've got Lamar Jackson, who's won an MVP. He's the James Harden. He's the kind of the one trick pony of the Baltimore Ravens, and you bottle him up. I saw him throw a really terrible interception in that game, but other than that, Lamar Jackson, he's fantastic, right? I agree with Davey. He's one of the, you know, definitely one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, I would say. And he's so hard to contain and hard to game plan against. But then everything else, their roster just isn't necessarily built to compete in the same way. They lost a lot on the defense this last year. And they gotta retool a few things and get a little bit more, even more explosive to be able to compete in the playoffs.
I think that's a solid comparison with the Rockets. Do you think that it's more, it's like a, this, just to give the listeners a little bit more in-depth question, and we'll try to keep it short because we want to be efficient, or respectful of our time, but do you think it's like that is like a roster issue, a depth issue where they weren't built for the long run in the playoffs?
I think it's they're kind of schemed all around Lamar Jackson, and obviously, you know, you take Lamar Jackson out like in that game, then it doesn't work that well. But they're so run heavy and whatnot, and I think they need some distractions or some other things that will let them more fully utilize their run offense so that people aren't just game planning to stop the run and then you stop the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that's a ball comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't – you can't – like, I don't want to say you can't win because we know that anyone can get hot and win a few games. And so I'm not going to say they can't win this way. I don't think you can win their style of football where you just basically rely on Lamar Jackson making some amazing running plays or their running backs beating you up. I mean, you have to have some ability to drop back and pass the football. And I think last year, I think part of that's Lamar has regressed a little bit as a passer this year. But a large part, who's their personnel? I know that they've tried with Marquise Brown. And I don't think Marquise Brown's bad, but they really have Mark Andrews. And then, in my opinion, a second or third option at receiver. I heard a comparison, and I don't know that I'm completely on board because I do think Josh Allen's a little quite a ways ahead of Lamar Jackson as a passer right now. But I heard someone say this week that if you switched Stephon Diggs onto the other team, that the Ravens win. And I think that's pretty true. If you could add a guy like that and use him correctly and get a little bit downfield passing game, I think that could change everything for him. But as they're built right now,
yeah.
I agree with Cole.
Yeah, so Ravens.
Most people do. Just
well, no, most people don't because most people don't like the Vikings. So.
Well, if the Ravens front office is listening to us, which we know they are, because the teams' definitely. Front offices are listening to us, go out and get a playmaker. That way, you can advance to the AFC Championship game, where the Bills will play or are playing the winner of the Browns and Chiefs, who played this past weekend, where the Chiefs barely squeaked one out. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, the concussion. Then we had the fumble in the end zone. A lot happened in this game. David Colton, what were your takes away, or what were your takeaways, thoughts, opinions about this game?
It was a heartbreaker, in my opinion. I think it sucked at the end. I don't want to put it all on Kevin Stefanski because I don't think he played bad, but like I think in the end of the game, I would have just liked to see them be a little more aggressive after Mahomes went down. I feel like after Mahomes went down, they kind of played not to lose. They got the ball back down 12, if I remember right, and they went on like an 8-minute touchdown drive. Then they got and they did go for it on fourth down and short twice that drive, I believe. And then they got the ball back, and again, we're trying to kind of that 4 minutes left in the game, they're kind of trying to manufacture a 4-minute offense, and they did go for it on the fourth and short on that drive. So I don't want to say he got completely passive, but I would have liked for them to kind of maybe try and operate a little quicker and put the ball and basically make Matt Moore actually beat them instead of just giving Matt Moore the opportunity to make one play and beat them. But I really wanted the Browns to win it, but it was a good game.
Yeah, a lot of people want to see the Chiefs go down, and rightly so. You know, when you're the top dog, everyone's gunning for you. And I was definitely rooting for the Browns, rooting for Baker. I think they played great. They definitely just got gassed, or all the not gassed. It's not the right word, but they got all the wind taken out of them a couple times. I think the first time was that fumble out the end zone that gave the Chiefs the ball. Yep. That was a huge momentum swing. I mean, it was a 10-point swing because I believe the Chiefs went down, kicked a field goal.
Yep.
So that was a 10-point swing in the game. And, you know, it was a great back-and-forth game. You had that. Then the Browns were coming back. Mahomes goes out. They were, you know, going for it on fourth downs, getting it. Then right there at the end when everyone thought they weren't going to snap it, and they snap it and throw a little pass to Tyreek Hill, ice the game. Andy Reid is definitely one of the top coaches in the NFL. He did so well in Philadelphia for so long, and he's doing great in Kansas City, and he's going to keep doing great there. Everyone, not everyone, because, you know, there's Chiefs fans out there, but everyone that's not a Chiefs fan was rooting for the Browns just for the story. And finally, the Browns are out of the cellar. They're going somewhere. They're doing something. And I think it would have been really exciting, but it's still going to be exciting this week, especially if Patrick Mahomes plays. Playing against Josh Allen, two of the really great quarterbacks in the league. It's going to be a good game. I think the Browns just got punched in the gut one too many times, obviously.
Yeah, solid comparison there. Colton, what a – because I've asked David this question a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, but what is your overall opinion for the Browns moving into the future? Are they a team that is going to stay around the top of the AFC or hang in there? Or is this a one-season thing? And are we going to see the repeated failures of what we've seen recently from the Browns in the future?
Well, first thing with the Browns, they finally got the head coach right. Kevin Stefanski is the man for the job. Mm-hmm. He did a great job keeping everything there. I look at one thing on being able to judge if a team is going to be able to stick around is the strength of their division, you know, because you got to win the division to be going into playoffs each and every year. They got the Ravens, they got the Steelers, and they got the Bengals. I still think next year the Bengals, don't think Zach Taylor's the guy over there. I think they're a couple years away from being real challenging. I think especially after this year with Big Ben and everything going back, I know all the Steeler fans are going to be like, well, we went like, you know, 11 and 5, and they started off undefeated and went crazy this year, but we saw what that team was without Big Ben. I think the Browns are going into this next year are firmly going to cement themselves in second and flirting with the Ravens for first in that division. I think they're going to be able to stick around and carry their weight in that division, and they're only going to go up from where they're at right now. I definitely think we're going to see the Browns for a few more years.
Awesome.
So I do have something to tell you guys and to tell you listeners. It's a bit of a surprise. This is something that no one knows yet except for me. Not a single one of you guys. I got everyone. It's a little bit of a surprise. Colton is not the only thing that is returned this week. The Instagram page is back and up and running. It's at Ready to Football Pod. Tom Colton is a thing. I didn't mean to call Colton a thing, but I had to call him a thing because the Instagram page is definitely not a person. And so that was my two options. I did debate that quite honestly. I did debate that a little bit on my way home when I was thinking about how I was going to deliver this news to you guys or whether I was going to call Colton a thing or the Instagram page a person. But I think I made the right decision. I don't know. I guess not, since we're talking about it. So, but the Instagram page is back at Ready to Football Pod. And along with it comes back our weekly poll. So today's poll, I want to get you guys' opinion. There's two tweets. There was a variety of tweets about that play that Colton saw or Colton talked about that where the Browns were going down and about to score a touchdown at the end of the half. Rashard Higgins reached his arms out trying to score, dove into the end zone, fumbled on the way out of bounds, and the ball went out of the back of the end zone. The refs definitely missed helmet-to-helmet on that play. Like, I don't think anyone can refute that, but that's not really where we want to focus here. So we have two responses that I singled out. One was Derek Carr, who said, well, obviously that's the worst rule in football. Those who may remember, Derek Carr was played by this rule a few years ago. But then he let out that little shrug emoji, and then he said, hashtag don't punish effort. Then the other one was Joe Mixon. And he said, number one rule coach tells us is don't be selfish and reach. Now, I want to ask you two guys, which of those two do you agree more with?
Oh, no, that's a great question. Go ahead, Tom. I think it's always something that you look back at and I'm like, oh, you know, you look back at and say, man, what a stupid play. You should have been trying to protect the ball. But, you know, if I was in his shoes, you know, Higgins, I love the effort, and it's hard to say because looking back at it, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened, but I think in the moment I would do the same thing. I think you're putting your 100% effort out on the, I don't know. It's hard to say because as a competitor, you want to compete and do your best and do everything you can to score. But, looking back at it, you know, it's unfortunate, and that is the reality when you do reach out, that there's not a lot of strength surrounding the ball, so it can be knocked out a lot easier. So I more lean on towards the effort. I love the effort. I love I don't know. I just love the effort. I think I would do the same thing. So that's where I kind of side.
Well, if I'm rooting for the team, I definitely agree with Derek Carr. 100% of the time. If I'm rooting against them, I kind of agree with Joe Mixon there, right? which is why I know there's got to be something wrong with the rule, you know? Just because it's so polarizing, that subject. Anywhere else, if that happens, it goes back to the spot where the offensive player fumbled it. So I don't get why, you know, that makes it any difference. The offense, when you fumble it, you know, the offense has a chance to recover it, and the defense has a chance to recover it, and neither one of them does it, and it goes out the end zone. So why is it only when it goes out the end zone right there that all of a sudden it gets rewarded to, you know, just gets rewarded to the defense? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I've been trying to kind of think of a way to fix it, because it is one of those like kind of old doctored in rules in the NFL that everyone, well, at least I don't know, people that are rules fanatics and whatnot, like You get why it's in there, but at the same time, I think either give it back to the, I don't think in any way should the offense lose it, because the defense had the right to recover the ball as well and didn't get it. But you can't just, you know, there's got to be some form of punishment to the offense. So I don't know how you fix it, but I kind of agree more with Derek Carr as well, that you can't, basically that it's kind of a dumb rule and it needs to be fixed.
David, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all kind of in the same spot here, it sounds like, or at least very similar, where they're kind of both right in their ways, obviously. At points, it's definitely a dumb rule. It definitely needs to be changed. There's, like Colton said, it's different on every other spot in the field. There's no reason. There's nothing that the defense did on that play that should reward them with the football to take away a touch. Like we talked about with this game, the Browns probably lost because of that single play. They more than likely scored. At the very least, it's a 6-point swing, which would give them the win. And at the best, it's a 10-point swing, which would give them a win. And so, it's definitely a dumb rule. At the same time, to all you Browns fans that are upset about it, which I have seen a lot, or not just Browns fans, because a lot of people are cheering for this team, that are overly upset about it, Rashard Higgins knows the rule, and he knows he can't do that. It's unfortunate. It's a dumb rule, but he is responsible to not do that. But I don't know. I'm kind of like where Colton's at, where I just don't know. Definitely they should do it. I've heard – I mean, I don't understand why you can't just keep it the same, to be honest. I don't get why you can't just say – because anywhere else where that happens on the field, it's just the last place where the player had possession of the ball. They can't advance the ball by fumbling, and so it just goes to where he fumbled from. I don't get why that has to change. But if you really are just so upset that someone would ever fumble around the goal line – that you want to add in a little bit of extra penalty to them, put them back on the 20. Like, if you're going to put the ball on the 20, give them the ball.
What do? You keep it the same down? Do you start over first down? What do you do?
Yeah, you'd have all sorts of mess. I don't know. To me, I don't get why you can't just keep it the same as any other thing. Just keep the same exact rule where you fumble it out of bounds, you get the ball back where you had it. It's the same exact down, the same exact distance. To me, that's the best answer. And because to me, that's the most fair. Like, you're going in on the end zone, you fumble the ball out of bounds. That's the most fair and consistent thing with what happens anywhere else.
Well, I think the rule is there in place, too, to try and keep teams from intentionally fumbling the ball. Because that happens, especially right around the goal line. They'll, all of a sudden just fall and, you know, kind of huck it there to give their teammate a chance to get it. And if it goes out, then it's defense's ball.
Yeah. I don't know. But then fix that problem if it happens. Like, to me, I don't think that's going to happen, like, very often. Like, yeah, you're right, that may happen here and there. But that's already the rule. Already, if I fumble the football – oh, no, because you have to have the player advance it. Right, that's still a rule. So you have to have the player advance it. So you can't – even now, if I fumble forward into the end zone and you go and pick it up in the end zone, it still doesn't count, even if it doesn't go out of bounds. And so to me, that takes care of that problem. They're not going to try and fumble forward and let people pick it up because they can't advance the ball anyways. And so it'd still be back where it is. I don't know. To me, it's a weird rule. I don't understand it. The one thing I maybe disagree with Colton about, I get why they – obviously, you can't just let them score a touchdown, and I don't think any of us are saying that that should happen. But I don't really get why they have this rule. To me, they have their bases covered with other rules, and they should just keep it more – it's more fair to keep it the same. But
boys, would you say that's a pretty old rule that's been in the NFL for a while?
I don't know. I would assume, but I don't really – honestly, okay. I don't know.
The reason I was asking that question.
Article 8, Section
– I was going to say, because if it is pretty old, we also had another game that had old men.
Oh, sorry, Thomas, that we ruined
I was trying to transition and segue smoothly into the next game. I've been thinking about this for the last 5-10 minutes. And
a game with old men.
Old quarterback. We have Drew Brees playing Tom Brady, Buccaneers visiting Saints. Buccaneers come away with the win 30-20. We had, you know, what could be a heartbreaking ending to Drew Brees' career. I haven't heard any information coming from his party about him returning next year, but what were you guys' takeaways from the Buccaneers 30-20 win over the Saints?
This game sucked. It just absolutely sucked. It was not a good game. This game was a game that needed to take place 5 to 10 years ago. I mean, just to be real, that people are going hard on Drew Brees. I'm not going to continue to go hard on Drew Brees. We know how he played, but I'm going to knock Tom Brady off his pedestal a little bit because for some reason, a lot of people think he had a good game. Let's not forget this. The Saints had 4 turnovers and were only lost by 10 points. They've lost the turnover battle 4-0 and only lost by 10 points. Tom Brady didn't play that well. I'm not going to kill him. Like, he's not his worst game ever, but he just wasn't impressive. He didn't go win the game. The Saints lost the game. Tom Brady could have given the Bucs multiple turnovers. There was a couple close ones, but this is just – to me, it was just not a fun game to watch. It was a boring game to watch. A lot of noodle arm passes on both sides, in my opinion. And I just don't think – I just was not impressed with either team. Leonard Fournette had his moments. Devin White, heck of a game. Heck of a game for them. The defense for the Buccaneers looks good for sure. But Tom Brady, I don't get how he's missing – well, he's missing so much of this blame just because of what – Drew Brees, how much worse Drew Brees looked. But there's people acting like Tom Brady looked like a Hall of Fame quarterback this game, and he didn't. He just wasn't impressive. I don't know. What did you think about it, Colton?
The Saints have a really, really good defense. And that touchdown where they had Jameis Winston go in and huck that 50-yard pass down there, it was just crazy to see the ball fly out of a Saints quarterback hand that fast and look like it was on a rope. You know, Drew Brees' arm is gone.
Yes, it is.
He's still pretty accurate, but it's just so slow getting out there. It looked like when I was trying to throw the ball back, like it was a bad deal.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Oh, thank you. If Drew Brees doesn't know it, I'll let him know right now. Drew Brees, you're done. You're not coming back. the Saints need to move on. Everyone was trying to win that one for Brees because everyone knows this was Brees last year. And I think Brees knows it too. But Tom Brady definitely didn't play well. But, hey, he won the game. He did what he needed to do. Got him to go against the Packers. They've had success against the Packers earlier in the year. Do not think they're going to repeat that same success, but he got him to where they need to be, and I think he's proven a lot of people wrong. I definitely thought the Buccaneers would be better with Tom Brady than with Jameis Winston, but I did not think they would make it to the NFC Championship game, albeit the circumstances to which they got to the NFC Championship game, they probably had an easier path than – well, actually, I don't know. It's a long season.
You don't think Tyler Heinicke and Noodle Arm Breeze was a great playoff?
I think
great, tough playoff matchups for them?
Dude, Taylor Heinicke played great.
Taylor Heinicke's okay. Awesome. I want him to start for the Packers next year.
Old Dominion, man. Let's go. He was on the Vikings for a long time.
I thought he
time.
Was from Minnesota.
Well, but,
and,
but you're right.
Let's go. But that was a fun game. But, yeah, definitely the Washington game was a lot funner to watch than the than
yeah,
the
it was heartbreaking
for
to,
sure.
to watch Bruce throw those last interceptions at the end. Kind of felt for him, you know, like Colton, you were saying, you just wanted, you know, everyone was playing who was playing for the Saints were playing for Drew Brees, and they didn't want to see that come to an end. But like, I totally agree with you. I think that it's we're seeing the end of his tenure with the Saints, or really in all football. Maybe he'll have some broadcasting or coaching to do after everything. But I do think that we saw the last of Brees. But boys, we have someone who we will see a lot of in the future. His name is Deshaun Watson. Apparently, there's a lot of discussions or turmoil, tension with him and the Houston Texans organization. Boys, what are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts are he should get the freak out. I don't know. I don't think he has that much power. Like, I know a lot of people – I know he doesn't have that much power, and this is something I don't know about. A lot of people think that he has leverage, or that other teams have leverage in negotiations. He has no leverage, unfortunately, with the new CBA. He will get penalized if he tries to hold out, and it'll get – I don't know all the consequences, but I know that financially, like, it's not – he'll get – punished if he tries to hold out. So he can't hold out. He can hurt himself by not showing up to offseason stuff, and we have seen people do that, but like ultimately that really doesn't hurt the team as much as that hurts himself. And so he might try to do that, but he's under contract for 5 years, so he doesn't have a lot of leverage, but I think he should get the heck out of there. Watt's likely out of there. There's no way they're keeping Watt with that salary, and Watt doesn't want to rebuild. We know what they did last year with this great weapon, DeAndre Hopkins, without even giving him so much as a phone call. They promised that they would not, that he would be a part of the hiring process. And instead they basically, from what it sounds like, listened to his suggestions just to try and make him happy. Then went, didn't even take those suggestions into account. And then still he wasn't even given the text message before he found out that the new GM, the same way we did on his phone. And so I think he needs to get out of there. But I don't know that – I don't know. I hope it happens.
Colton, what are your thoughts?
For his sake.
You know, another basketball reference here, but when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, that started kind of the player-centric trend in the NBA, and now players are, you know, dictating what happens with their careers. They're saying where they want to go, where they want to play, what they want to do. And I think this may be – the one that starts it in the NFL. We've seen some other pretty big names leave, you know, and go their way, do their own thing. But never someone as young as Deshaun Watson in their prime like this. The Texans organization is kind of like the laughing stock, I guess, of the NFL as far as front office organization goes. They don't... Like, no one, you know, especially Deshaun, but no one else. J.J. Watt was definitely mad about it all year, talking about how losing sucks. And they've had some allegations and other things going on there. And if I was Deshaun, you know, I would take everyone's advice as well and probably jump ship in Houston. The fans of Houston, everybody wants him, but there's just too much there to fix. And he shouldn't want to waste his career. You know, there's definitely a lot going on, and he wants to win and be competitive and doesn't want to go through, you know, five different head coaches and three GMs.
I agree with both of you guys. I think it's something that the Houston Texans have really messed up as an organization. And if I was him, like, I'm just, you know, I'm putting myself in his shoes. You know, the next 10 years or so, you'll probably get some playoff appearances in the next 10 years, but realistically, I don't see that team going anywhere. For sure in the next, 3 to 4, 5 years, but, that team is going to start from scratch again, and it's unfortunate for their fans, but if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm leaving as soon as I can. Where's he playing in 2021?
The Dolphins.
I don't think he'll get traded till mid-year. Thinking probably
Jets and the Dolphins,
where he'll end up going.
Yep, that's more hope. I just really, really would love to see him with a good team.
I'm picking the Patriots with BP.
Oh my gosh!
Explain that one.
Bill Belichick, otherwise known as BB, he loves. You know, he'll never say it on the podium, but he loves dual threat. Well, actually, he will say it on the podium. He loves dual threat quarterback.
He loves says it on the podium so many
he's gonna
times.
He's going to get Deshaun Watson, or he's going to draft Justin Fields. I don't know what he's going to do, but one of those two guys is going to happen. And Patriots are looking good for the future.
No. Colton, I know you went off into the mountains and everything, and so – you haven't been around to hear how much Patriot slander we've had on this podcast, but we had an entire episode dedicated in the off season where Thomas and I had a water bet about the fact that he thought Jarrett Stidham was going to be a top five quarterback this year.
Oh, really?
And that was after Cam Newton was signed, or was that before Cam Newton was signed? Okay. So in Thomas's one defense, that was before Cam Newton was signed, but he has a water bet that he owes because of the situation. He then doubled down after, like, I don't know what week it was, but the Patriots had, like, gotten out of it. They had lost a few games, and then they, like, had won those two in a row, and it was, like, to the Jets. They had beaten the Jets and one other bad team. Then he placed another water bet that they were going to make the playoffs. So it's been pretty intense here. I don't know if is a complete Patriots fan at this point. I don't know if the transformation's complete, but he's definitely on his way.
Holy cow. One trip to the mountains.
It's interesting.
Thomas,
because
so much.
it's interesting. Yeah. You'll never hear those words coming out of my mouth, nor would the listeners. Because I went into the deep, deep, deep dungeon of the archives of the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast, and I deleted all of those things, which I never said.
I'm going to repost this. We're going to have another episode this week. Two episodes. The second one's going to be
moving
Thomas
on, boys. We have the NFC Championship and AFC Championship game. So we have – who should we talk about first, AFC or NFC? AFC? All right. AFC. Well, we have the Chiefs hosting the Bills. We don't know about the status of Mahomes, but boys, who wins this? What's interesting about this matchup? Who wins it and why?
Regardless of whether Patrick Mahomes plays or not, the Bills win it.
Yes.
Because it's their time. They're coming together at the right time. They played a great slate of games. They're clicking. They know what works for them offensively, defensively. They're the most prepared team to play the Chiefs this year. And it hasn't been since the Patriots back in, I believe, 2007, 2008, since the team has repeated as Super Bowl champions. And it's not going to be this year. The
Who's your deciding factor in that
Bowl.
Game?
Josh Allen, he's gonna, they're gonna be going for it. They're gonna have to be going for it a lot, like the Browns were on fourth downs, and he's gonna make some crazy plays. I think he's gonna do a little bit better in the game-winning drives than Baker Mayfield did, and he's taking
David.
He's
your
taking
thoughts?
It who he wants? It.
What's a key matchup? Who wins this game, and why do they win this game?
I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I don't know. I know that there's like some talk that like he may have just pinched a nerve. And that may have been part of the crazy thing that we saw on the field, but I don't know how in today's climate, with how serious everyone takes concussions, you would be able to play a guy a week later after what we saw. And so, to be honest, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to play. And that is the X factor, that Patrick Mahomes will not play, and I think that the Bills will win. I do think that as far as on the Bills' side, it will come down to Josh Allen. There was points last game where Josh Allen looked a little bit flustered, I think, in my opinion. And I think he's going to overcome that, and I think he's going to have a great MVP-like performance, MVP candidate-type performance, and he's going to lead them to
– Well, I totally agree with you guys. So we all agree on this pick. I think if 2020, the season of COVID, proved anything, it was consistency matters, and which is why I think the Packers will win on those on the other side. But we'll talk about that in a sec. But the Bills have been a very consistent team. What's so funny?
just a random jumping.
Yeah, I'm all over the place
for a second. Like, wait, are we talking about the Packers? I thought we talked about the Bills.
So, consistency is the name of the game. Like Colton said, it's their time to shine. They have a pretty great defense. Like David said, the X factor is going to be Patrick Mahomes. If he plays, he's going to be not 100%, but that's only if he plays. So, another thing about this Chiefs team is they are very inconsistent, as we've said about them from earlier podcasts is they like to keep it close. And I think that's going to hurt them in the end in this game. And I think and also not having Mahomes, but Bills are going to advance to the Super Bowl. It's going to be an interesting sight to see. So I do think Josh Allen's going to play well. X factor will probably both be Patrick Mahomes being gone and then Josh Allen. So basically, the quarterback play will be the X factor. But boy,
so yeah, basically, exactly. You're just going to copy me.
Literally,
word for word, almost.
I copied Colton word too. Had to make sure I got both of them in there. So, that way I'm not wrong next week. But boys, we have Packers and the Buccaneers, the frozen tundra in the afternoon at Lambeau Field. Tom Brady visiting Aaron Rodgers. Who wins this game? Why do they win this game? What's interesting about this game?
The Packers win this game because I bet someone chocolate milk that they'd win game. And everyone knows how much I love my chocolate milk. So if I don't get my chocolate milk, it's not going to be a good week for anybody. So if you just want to have a good week, the Packers just got to go out and win this game. X factor, chocolate milk.
That's the first. Okay, David, what are your thoughts about this? Who wins this game? Why do they win this game? What's interesting or what's a key factor in an interesting matchup?
I think the Packers win the game. I think this game is very different than the first time they played. I don't want to go off too much about this. I know that there's already a lot of talk similar to what I heard last week about the Rams. There was certain Rams players last week that went on and talked about how they have this game against the Packers. And we saw that turned out. And I don't want to call anyone out, but there's a guy, Aaron Donald, who specifically, when he was asked about the Packers, he said, "We got this." When Aaron Rodgers was asked about Aaron Donald, he gave Aaron Donald the most respect in the world. I think we saw that turned out. And then we already have a certain middle linebacker for the Buccaneers who are already saying, "Oh, we got this." And at last time he played us, he said that we didn't even blow out on the same field as him, which may have been true for that game. Congratulations to them for getting Aaron Rodgers to throw two interceptions in like a 30-second span, something that doesn't happen. And one of those to be a pick six, and the other one for them to return down to 1 yard line, which completely erased a 10-0 lead and turned into a 14-10 deficit. And I mean, for their sake, I hope that happens again, because you know that's happened many times in Aaron Rodgers' career. So I don't know. It'll be. I hope Tom Brady's a little more up to snuff this week, and it's a super fun game. This was the game I wanted.
I knew
as much
it.
As I think it was not
you
the best
wanted
matchup
this game.
For the Packers.
When we were talking about
game
Seattle
wanted.
Was still in the playoffs,
Pat,
we were breaking down the games, and you made a comment about how awesome it would be if Aaron Rodgers could take down Drew Brees and Tom Brady in the playoffs. And from that point, that moment forward, I knew that you wanted the Buccaneers.
I wanted Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, NFC Championship. The Packers. Aaron Rodgers is down 3-1 or 2-1 in games against Tom Brady. I would love to equalize it, but then maybe get the extra boost because it's the game that goes to the NFC Championship.
You mean the Super Bowl?
Exactly what I mean. Thank you, Colton.
I shall agree with both of you.
Do not in any way say that we will win by 40. Do not forget that. Those
Packers
words
will
not come out of your mouth.
Comfortably.
Just so you know, Colton, Thomas said that the Packers would beat both the Vikings and the Colts by 40 each of those weeks. The exact words he said.
I don't know if
I
said 40.
Packers are going to win by 40.
I did.
You said 40. Yeah. Check the tape. You said both games. I think they'll win by 40.
Okay. Well, I'll go out and say
no.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
If we lose, you're never welcome back.
No, I think like I said earlier about the Bills, consistency is something that I'm going to lean on in this matchup, and I think the Packers have been one of the most consistent teams in the NFL, and they'll get the job done against a pretty inconsistent team in the Buccaneers. So they'll get the win comfortably. I don't know if it'll be by 40, but they'll get, I would say, probably a touchdown win or a 10-point win. Kind of leaning on the side of a comfortable 7-point win, if that makes sense. Which, if you're a football fan and you watch football, you know what I mean. But yeah, boys, I think that's it. I think that's the end of this pod. We covered everything. Colton, how was it to be back?
It was good. I definitely liked it.
We definitely like you. It was having
good.
You here and not in the mountains.
Speak for yourself. I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're back, Colton.
Had to listen to me give opinions, and no one wants to listen. Obviously.
Yeah, we know. We know with Tom, as we just highlighted with Thomas's Patriots conversations. We know what Thomas's opinions tell.
Wisdom.
But yeah, just like I said earlier in the podcast, listeners, the Instagram page is back up and running. So you can now follow us at Ready to Football Pod on Instagram. Every week we're going to do some type of poll. We'll have a weekly poll we'll talk about in the episode. And so be ready for that. But yeah.
I hope listeners have a great week. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football Podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.